Imagine a woman who has it all. A thriving career, beautiful family, immaculate home, and endless energy for community service. She's the person everyone admires, the one who never complains despite juggling countless responsibilities. Yet behind closed doors, she drinks vodka alone and contemplates ending her life. This is the face of perfectly hidden depression, PHD, a condition that has remained largely invisible in our discussions about mental health. Dr. Margaret Rutherford's groundbreaking work on this topic resonated so powerfully that her initial blog post went viral, generating thousands of shares and hundreds of personal emails from people who finally felt seen. The book has since become required reading in many therapy training programs and has been praised by mental health advocates like Brené Brown for illuminating a critical gap in our understanding of depression. In a culture that increasingly celebrates vulnerability while simultaneously rewarding perfectionism, this exploration of hidden suffering couldn't be more timely. Perfectly hidden depression isn't about occasional sadness or temporary stress. It's a complex syndrome where individuals construct a flawless external life while suffering profound inner pain. Unlike those with classic depression who may struggle to get out of bed, people with PHD are often high-functioning, successful individuals who excel in their careers and social lives. They're the ones volunteering for every committee, maintaining picture-perfect homes, and being the rock everyone else leans on. What makes PHD particularly dangerous is that these individuals don't fit the typical depression profile. They rarely cry, maintain high energy levels, and continue to function at exceptional levels. Their smiles are convincing because they've mastered the art of compartmentalization, mentally storing away painful emotions in sealed containers while presenting a carefully curated version of themselves to the world. The 10 characteristics of PHD create a comprehensive profile: intense perfectionism driven by a critical inner voice, excessive responsibility taking, emotional detachment through intellectualization, controlling tendencies fueled by worry, using accomplishments as the primary source of self-worth, caring for others while maintaining an impenetrable inner world, discounting personal pain, potentially struggling with accompanying issues like eating disorders or anxiety, rigid positive thinking, and succeeding professionally while struggling with emotional intimacy. These traits form a protective shield, developed often in childhood as a survival strategy. For example, Adam learned to take responsibility for his father's abusive behavior, creating a lifelong pattern of rescuing others while suppressing his own needs. Brittany appeared successful and well-adjusted, rational, organized, socially active, and professionally accomplished, yet she had planned suicide before seeking help. The disconnect between their outer presentation and inner experience is the hallmark of PHD. Most tragically, this condition can lead to what might appear as an inexplicable suicide. The person who had everything to live for, yet takes their own life, leaving friends and family in shocked disbelief. Their suffering remained invisible precisely because they worked so hard to ensure no one would see it. Healthy coping involves appropriate compartmentalization, temporarily storing emotions while attending to pressing matters, then reconnecting with those feelings when it's safe. This skill develops when parents model emotional regulation, teaching children that difficult emotions are tolerable and don't need to govern their lives. The Sukuma proverb, "The wind does not break a tree that bends," illustrates how emotional flexibility prevents breaking under pressure. Those with PHD, however, believe the opposite, that acknowledging vulnerability will cause them to break rather than bend. Their compartmentalization isn't temporary, but permanent. While healthy individuals might postpone processing grief during an important meeting, those with PHD build impenetrable walls around their emotions, never intending to revisit them. Unlike clinical depression, characterized by a lack of vitality, where even brushing teeth feels mountainous, PHD is defined by a lack of self-acceptance. When someone emerges from clinical depression, they seem like a new person with twinkling eyes and laughter. In contrast, those with PHD are experts at hiding their struggles, making it unlikely others will notice something's wrong. Their emergence from PHD reveals long-suppressed emotions, tears of relief, and a newfound freedom of expression rooted in self-compassion. The distinction matters because traditional depression screening may miss those with PhD, as demonstrated by Sam's story. When given a standard depression inventory, asking if he felt hopeless, Sam answered no, despite being suicidal, later telling his doctor, "You didn't ask the right questions." Traditional depression diagnosis requires either a noticeably depressed mood or anhedonia, lack of pleasure in previously enjoyable activities, criteria that people with PhD often don't outwardly display. Many with PhDs search for depression symptoms online but don't recognize themselves in clinical criteria, leading to more shame for wondering if something's wrong. Only perceptive clinicians who look beyond the smile and persistent competence might recognize the underlying depression. The fear of exposure is profound for those with PhD. Many only speak about their struggles in complete confidence. Research shows perfectionism comes in three forms: self-oriented, expecting yourself to be perfect; other-oriented, expecting others to be perfect; and socially prescribed, feeling pressure from others to be perfect. This last category is especially dangerous as it creates tremendous hopelessness, a major factor in suicidal behavior. Dan Harris's panic attack on live television reveals the fear many with PhD experience, that vulnerability will expose them as frauds. This fear of stigma, combined with perfectionism, prevents many from seeking help. When you add perfectionism to this fear, it could be years before seeking treatment, if ever. The tragic story of Heath illustrates the potentially fatal consequences. A high-achieving student from a wealthy family, Heath appeared to have it all. When his friend Angela warned the school counselor about his suicidal texts, Heath denied everything. The counselor, seeing Heath laughing with friends in the cafeteria, took no action. Heath killed himself a month later, leaving his family with no explanation. His perfectly hidden depression masked his suffering until it was too late. Elite college campuses have begun addressing this phenomenon with terms like Stanford's duck syndrome, appearing to glide effortlessly while paddling furiously beneath the surface, and Penn's pen face, the pressure to present as having everything together despite inner struggles. These pressures have contributed to suicide rates at some prestigious universities more than twice the national average. Benita's story further illustrates the danger. Despite surviving childhood sexual abuse and creating a facade of competence, she became hysterical at a medical appointment, but revealed nothing about her trauma. While thriving academically with a full scholarship, she was totally doing the PhD thing, appearing in control publicly while experiencing private hysteria. Her perfectionism nearly cost her life, requiring a serious suicide attempt before doctors asked the right questions. The healing journey begins with consciousness, recognizing that PhD is affecting your life and relationships. This awareness can exist at different levels. Some people are fully aware they're hiding their troubles while maintaining a perfect facade, meticulously orchestrating their public image while privately struggling. Others have been hiding for so long that it's become unconscious and part of their identity, seamlessly blending their mask with their sense of self. Many exist in a mixed state, intentionally hiding in some areas while unaware of patterns in others, creating a complex web of conscious and unconscious coping mechanisms. When confronting denial about PhD, three emotional responses typically emerge. First, welcome relief. The information fits a gut feeling that something's wrong, providing missing puzzle pieces and a name for your experience. This relief often manifests as a physical sensation, like tension releasing from shoulders or chest. Second, feeling overwhelmed. The work seems too difficult, making denial feel easier than awareness. The prospect of dismantling long-held defense mechanisms can trigger anxiety and resistance. Third, fear and worry, especially about being labeled as weak or incompetent if others discover your struggles. This fear often extends to concerns about disappointing family, losing professional status, or disrupting carefully constructed relationships. Mindfulness takes awareness deeper by teaching present-moment attention without judgment. This practice is especially crucial for those with PhD because it creates space for emotional expression and authenticity. People with PhD avoid strong emotions, like anger, sadness, and even joy, because these feelings threaten their sense of control. Many report physically tensing up or immediately shifting to problem-solving mode when emotions arise. Mindfulness teaches that emotions are like ocean waves. Each has its own life cycle, rising and eventually dissipating into the shore, requiring neither suppression nor solution. Danielle's story illustrates this process. With trauma, OCD, and anorexia, she finally allowed herself to feel grief and pain during therapy instead of hiding behind her smile. Initially, she would deflect emotional conversations with jokes or change the subject. Through consistent practice, she learned to sit with uncomfortable feelings for increasing periods. This mindful presence with emotions, though uncomfortable, provided tremendous relief and enabled further healing, eventually leading to more genuine connections with others and a deeper understanding of herself. The Perfectly Hidden Depression Questionnaire helps identify where you fall on the PHD spectrum. Questions assess areas like emotional availability, perfectionism, and relationship patterns. Scoring 5 to 8 yes answers suggests being overly responsible and potentially developing perfectionist tendencies. 9 to 12 indicates potentially harmful perfectionism and emotional suppression. 13 or more reflects possible hidden depression with significant impact on daily functioning. This assessment builds self-understanding and creates motivation for change by providing concrete evidence of patterns that may have been invisible or dismissed. Commitment involves promising yourself to engage fully in the healing process, but this concept requires careful navigation for those with perfectionist tendencies. For perfectionists, commitment can easily become another arena for flawless performance, often leading to abandonment of the entire process when inevitable setbacks occur. Reframing commitment as intention maintains purposeful direction while introducing essential flexibility and self-compassion. While commitment suggests rigid duty and unwavering dedication, intention allows for natural ebbs and flows, course corrections, and gentler self-judgment. 5 major stumbling blocks to commitment are particularly challenging for perfectionists. First, establishing rigid, inflexible commitments that trigger shame and self-criticism when inevitably broken. Second, setting unrealistic or overly ambitious goals that set oneself up for failure. Third, maintaining a stubborn resistance to seeking support, viewing it as weakness. Fourth, experiencing deep fear about abandoning familiar, though unhealthy, coping mechanisms that have provided a sense of control. Fifth, facing the potential exacerbation of existing mental health challenges due to the stress of change. People with perfectionist healing disorder, PHD, typically resist asking for help, having constructed their identity around being capable, independent problem solvers. This self-sufficiency, while appearing admirable, becomes a significant barrier to healing, since isolation and concealment of struggles contributed to developing PHD initially. Building a robust support network becomes essential for recovery, even though accepting assistance may feel like admitting defeat or personal inadequacy. The author's transformative experience at a psychiatric center powerfully illustrates this principle through a blindfolded maze exercise. Despite multiple frustrated attempts to navigate the maze independently, using various strategic approaches and becoming increasingly discouraged, the simple solution was merely asking for guidance. This exercise became a profound metaphor for the healing journey, demonstrating how the seemingly complex challenge of recovery often requires the simple yet difficult step of reaching out to others. The process of modifying perfectionist patterns requires finding a delicate equilibrium between transformation and stability, much like carefully removing pieces in a Jenga tower without causing collapse. When these deeply ingrained patterns begin to shift, previously suppressed emotions and buried memories often surface unexpectedly. Laura's story exemplifies this phenomenon. When she finally found the courage to decline a volunteer commitment, she experienced an unexpected emotional release through tears, leading to deeper insights about her adoption history and lifelong pattern of proving her worth through achievement. This breakthrough revealed how perfectionism had served as a protective shield against underlying feelings of abandonment and unworthiness. Success in healing requires understanding that progress isn't linear and that temporary setbacks are not failures, but opportunities for deeper learning and growth. Creating sustainable change means accepting that transformation occurs gradually, with each small step forward contributing to lasting recovery. This stage focuses on identifying and challenging the rigid rules that have governed your life. These rules, once necessary for emotional survival, have created walls that keep difficult emotions out while simultaneously trapping you inside. Like an invisible prison, these self-imposed regulations dictate everything from how you should feel to how you must behave in various situations. The goal is to create freedom by questioning these restrictive beliefs and determining which ones truly serve your current life. Your beliefs defining perfectly hidden depression will be unique to you, shaped by multiple intersecting factors: your religious upbringing, family dynamics, cultural background, influential mentors, national identity, gender expectations, sexual orientation, life experiences, and past traumas. These elements combine to create a complex web of expectations and limitations. If a belief stands up to careful reevaluation and genuinely helps you lead a fulfilling life, it's worth keeping. However, many rules that once protected us become outdated and restrictive, requiring careful examination and potential modification. The author introduces cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, as a practical framework for this evaluation process. CBT posits that emotions arise not from situations themselves, but from what you tell yourself or believe about something. For example, if you believe, "I must never show weakness," you'll experience anxiety or shame when feeling vulnerable. By changing negative or irrational self-talk, you can transform connected emotions, which influences behavior and leads to healthier well-being. This approach provides concrete tools for examining and modifying deeply ingrained beliefs. Unspoken rules can be found everywhere, in families, workplaces, relationships, and social groups, and often trigger strong emotional reactions when challenged. Mark's story illustrates this powerfully. His simple desire to spend private time with his immediate family during a traditional group vacation triggered intense feelings of disloyalty due to unspoken family rules about togetherness. Similar examples might include feeling guilty for taking a sick day, shame for not attending every family event, or anxiety about pursuing a non-traditional career path. The evaluation process involves four essential steps. First, identify spoken and unspoken rules from childhood, particularly those that still influence your behavior today. This might include rules like never cry in public or always put others first. Second, determine if each rule serves you well now by asking if you'd teach it to someone you love. Would you want your child or best friend to live by this rule? Third, replace destructive rules with new choices, recognizing that making behavior changes helps challenge old beliefs. For instance, allowing yourself to say no to social obligations or expressing emotions more freely. Fourth, experience the feelings that come with choosing your own rules, acknowledging that vulnerability and discomfort may arise when breaking from familiar patterns. This discomfort is normal and often signals important growth. The process requires patience and self-compassion, as these rules have often been in place for decades. Each small step toward authenticity helps weaken the grip of outdated rules while building confidence in your ability to create healthier boundaries and beliefs. This stage guides readers through accessing buried emotions using a four-step process: compassion, viewing yourself through a warm lens; acknowledgement, recognizing feelings as normal responses; mindful connection, allowing emotions to emerge; and acceptance. Timeline creation serves as a powerful tool for organizing life experiences chronologically, helping identify emotional patterns while practicing self-compassion rather than perfectionism. This structured approach includes both positive and painful events that shaped one's identity. Self-compassion means extending kindness toward yourself without judgment, unlike self-pity, which positions you as a victim. The author encourages approaching timeline creation with gentleness, resisting perfectionism, and including all significant memories regardless of perceived importance. The second step focuses on recognizing messages absorbed from life experiences rather than blaming others. The author distinguishes between blame, which leads to bitterness, and acknowledgement, which brings healing through recognition. We internalize messages about our worth from experiences, particularly those involving neglect, loss, abuse, or poor parenting. For those skilled at intellectualizing and staying in their head, connecting with emotions can be challenging. Three common barriers include associating emotions with weakness, believing feelings interfere with good decision-making when emotional intelligence actually enhances decisions, and being disconnected from bodily sensations that signal emotions. Several practical activities can facilitate emotional reconnection: consulting word lists of emotions to expand your emotional vocabulary, joining therapy or support groups where others can offer insight and validation, reaching out to trusted friends, watching emotionally evocative movies, listening to music that stirs feelings, seeking calming touch through therapeutic massage, and finding physical outlets for anger. Chandra's story illustrates how timeline creation can reveal turning points. After enduring an abusive relationship with Marcus, she built emotional walls in her marriage, particularly around intimacy. Creating her timeline helped her recognize Marcus's sexual abuse as the moment she decided never to be hurt again, enabling a new kind of conversation with her husband about intimacy. The final healing stage involves actively changing patterns, focusing on the freedom that comes with risk and exploration. Taking risks becomes the focus, though you might still hesitate to make life-altering changes. The challenge lies in trusting that abandoning perfectionism, your survival strategy, will lead to greater security and well-being. Inside you, two voices battle: the evil wolf demanding more perfection and covering up, and the good wolf fighting for a fuller, freer life. The key is to admit your fear, sit with it, and address each fear individually rather than trying to eliminate it. When you don't run away from fear, it loses its power to control you. Letting go of perfectionism requires accepting risk and vulnerability. You must acknowledge that you aren't perfect and don't need to appear perfect. Your weaknesses will show to others, just as theirs do to you. This acceptance brings freedom from imprisonment by old rules, from tension of living cautiously, from monitoring your life to maintain control, and freedom to express true emotions and create genuine intimacy. The journey through grief to freedom requires steady persistence. Unlike the initial excitement of change, the reality can quickly become challenging as suppressed emotions arrive with overwhelming force. You may question why you began this journey, even feeling darker than before as you process deep grief. Grief about being hidden, opportunities missed, and circumstances that created your perfectly hidden depression. Stenzer's story illustrates this grief process. After hiding her sexual orientation from her conservative religious parents for years, Spencer finally revealed her truth through a letter. To her surprise, her parents were supportive, welcoming her partner Claire, and expressing relief that Spencer wasn't alone. This acceptance triggered profound grief in Spencer. She had wasted a decade trying to meet perceived expectations. Before moving forward with marriage plans, she needed to process this grief about time lost and opportunities missed. After facing fear, sitting with vulnerability, and working through grief, it's time to channel awareness into action. While insight is valuable, hope comes from new behaviors and tangible change. Being able to recognize, I did something today that I never thought I could do. Breaking the silence about perfectly hidden depression means inviting others into your previously private world, which can feel both scary and liberating. Like fireworks spreading across the sky, change in one relationship can inspire changes in others as you experience the power of living without shame. As you reveal your true self, people will respond differently. Many will welcome your authenticity, especially those who've watched with concern as you've taken on too much while revealing little about your inner world. They may have felt your love, but also sensed being shut out whenever they got too close. You may encounter resistance when seeking deeper connections, particularly if you've established relationship patterns that maintained your emotional distance. Three common problematic dynamics include: 1, the approach/avoidant pattern, where partners emotionally pursued you while you retreated; 2, overfunctioning relationships, where you've done most of the giving while partners underfunctioned; and 3, conflict-avoidant relationships, where both parties prefer emotions remain tucked away. Responses to your change might include fight, active resistance, flight, withdrawal, freeze, ignoring the change, or fold, becoming emotionally overwhelmed. Healthy boundaries become essential, conceptual lines between where you end and others begin. They aren't ultimatums, but rather information about who you are and what you value. Remember that you're worth fighting for, not despite your imperfections and vulnerabilities, but because of them. You deserve love not for what you accomplish, but for who you are. Your true strength comes not from appearing in control, but from connecting with all your emotions and allowing them to guide you. The journey from perfectly hidden depression to authentic living isn't about becoming someone new. It's about revealing who you've always been beneath the perfect facade. It's about discovering that your imperfections don't make you unlovable, but rather connect you more deeply to your own humanity and to others. In embracing your whole self, the accomplished and the struggling, the strong and the vulnerable, you find not just relief from suffering, but the freedom to truly live.